Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Amen. So what I need this morning is I need a little bit of help. And I see a few of those who are going to be able to help me this morning. Camden, I'm going to have you come up here. Sadie, I think I saw Sadie earlier. Is she here? She's over there. Oh, Sadie. Oh, come on up here. Sadie, come on up. Ezra, you can probably come up as well. And Evan? Yeah, come on up here. Right behind the pulpit would be perfect. Right up here, Camden. Right up behind the... Evan, where'd Evan go? I thought I saw Evan. Yeah, come on up, Evan. And I think James, you want to come on up? Come on up. Yeah, I think that'll be good this morning. Right behind the pulpit here. Come on up. What I want to do this morning is I want to introduce you to some of my third grade friends. And I had the privilege 2 months ago of once again teaching the sacraments class to our third graders. And I know because they listened so well and my teaching was so fantastic that they retained everything that I taught them from the sacraments class. And so I figured this morning, I'm just going to turn it over to them, and they're going to tell you everything they know about the sacraments. So I got the morning off. So take it away, third graders. No one is reaching for the microphone. No, not so much today. I wondered if that might happen, so don't worry. I did prepare a message as well. Third graders, maybe next time, right? Next time. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thanks for coming up here this morning. Thanks for coming. Yeah, give them a round of applause. They had no idea that was coming. Hopefully their blood pressure calms down just a little bit, right? Very good. Thanks for helping me out. But I do hope that our third graders do remember a few of the things that we're going to talk about today when it comes to sacraments. And I do hope that all of us, when we leave this place today, we remember a few things when it comes to our sacraments, namely what a sacrament is. Sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum. It means a deposit. And literally here, it is a deposit of grace. I'll never forget the definition of a sacrament that our theology professor, Dr. Van Dyke, told us and taught us in our seminary sacraments class. She said that a sacrament is an act of Christian worship in which God gifts the believer with grace. An act of Christian worship in which God gifts the believer with grace. Sacraments are a deposit of grace. They're a part of worship. Our sacraments give glory to God. And they come from God. They are gifts of God. Sacraments are God-initiated. And they happen within the body, within the family of faith. And they are a gift of grace. Let's talk about grace for a moment. That's so important when we think about sacraments. And we know that grace is evident everywhere. We are surrounded by grace all the time, whether we realize it or not. The sunrise we saw this morning was a gift of grace. The ability to breathe breath into these lungs and have strength to move, that is a gift of grace. The seasons, the faithfulness of God we see in the seasons changing with the leaves that turned color and now have fallen, that's a sign of God's grace. Laughter and friendship is a sign of grace. That the ability for us to gather together here in this place this morning in this thing called the church that we talked so much about last week, that too is grace. There are so many examples of grace. And it reminds me of this. I've got a plate here this morning of our donut holes. And I think about these donut holes, each one of them representing grace. But a sacrament is like an extra concentrated dose of grace. A sacrament is more like my favorite donut, which has a little something special in the middle. Can you see that? What's it got in the middle there? It's got the frosting in the middle, yes. Even better if there's frosting on top, and of course if there's sprinkles on top, even better. Yeah, that's my favorite. But I love it when a donut has frosting in the middle. It's like donuts are good, right? We love the donuts. I mean, these donuts, they go quickly. I had to snag these right away when they came in. But a sacrament is like an extra gift, an extra dose of grace, like this donut with frosting in the middle. Now, we have two sacraments that are gifts from God. Two sacraments that God, that Jesus, when he was on earth, told us to do. We have baptism, and we have the Lord's Supper. And we're going to look at each one of them this morning. We're going to look at one at a time. And so we're going to start with baptism. And Nathan's going to come. He's going to read our Galatians 3 passage. So I'd invite you to turn there with me as he reads from Galatians chapter 3.
Galatians 3, 26 through 29. If you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the according to the promise.
Very good. Thank you so much, Nathan, for reading that passage from Galatians. And you know, when we think about baptism, there are so many different passages we could look at that are related to baptism. But we chose this one this morning because the heart of baptism is about our identity in Christ. Look at verse 27 with me that Nathan just read for us. It says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So when we are baptized, we are clothed with Christ. In other words, it is as if we are draped with Christ, as if we are covered in Christ. When we baptize someone here at Westview, at the end, we typically say their name, and we say, "You are a child of the covenant. You have been sealed in the waters of baptism through the Holy Spirit and have been marked as Christ's own child forever." Baptism is a recalibration of our identity. And in the waters of baptism, water is this visible sign to us, something that we can see of God's invisible grace. And when we place that water upon that person's forehead, and usually we make the sign of the cross, and when that water is there, it is as if God himself is writing his name and saying, "This one, he, she, they belong to me. They're my child. They're a part of my family." Baptism as a deposit of grace means that we are a part of the family of God. Each of us, all of us, doesn't matter what our last name is, doesn't matter what our ancestry is, does not matter what the color of our skin is. Verse 28, what does it say? "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ." We are all a part of the family through baptism. And that reminds me of that great moment in the movie Remember the Titans. Do you remember the Titans? Yes, remember the Titans? You remember this movie? It's this great moment near the end of the movie where Gary Bertier, who's a star player, who's white, he's been injured in a car accident. He's lying in a hospital room. And his one-time nemesis turned friend, Julius Campbell, who's black, comes up and visits Gary in the hospital. And as he starts to walk in the room, there's a nurse in the room, and she says, this is exactly what she says, and she says it like this, "Only kin's allowed in here." To which Gary responds, he says, "Alice," and I love that he calls the nurse by first name, "Alice, are you blind? Don't you see the family resemblance? That's my brother." Where's my friend JB? I see him back here. JB, can you help me out this morning? Can you come up here? Can I come back to you? You feel free to turn and look. Hopefully the camera can make its way over here. JB, come. Can you stand by me? This is my friend JB. I don't know if you can realize, you know this or not, but JB and I, we were born on the opposite ends of this earth. Do you believe that? Yeah, do you see the family resemblance? We are brothers in Christ, aren't we? I am thankful for my brother in Christ. You are my brother in Christ. I am thankful for that. We're baptized in Christ. We're clothed in Christ. He's my brother, and I'm his brother. Just like, thank you, JB, you can have a seat. Just like Krista here is my sister, right? Monty is my brother. Marv is my brother. Kristen is my sister. We are all part of this family of God. We are clothed in Christ. We are one in Christ. It does not matter if there are demographic differences or socioeconomic differences or even gender differences or anything like that. It says that we are one in Christ. Those differences are secondary because we've been clothed in Christ through the sacrament of baptism. We are marked as Christ's own forever. God says, you're a part of my family. God's deposit of grace is that we are part of His family. And as we're a part of this family, that means that we are privy to some promises. One of the things, third graders, I hope you remember this, because I had you say it over and over and over and over and over again. And if you know it, say it with me, third graders. Baptism is all about God's promises. I'm sure I heard one of them say it. Did you hear? But congregation, you've heard it. Now you say it with me. Baptism is all about God's promises. In baptism, we know that parents, as they hold that newborn, they make promises. And we as a congregation, we stand and we make promises. And there are times when the individual themselves will make promises if it's a believer baptism. But first and foremost, baptism, which is a sacrament, a gift of God, initiated by God, baptism is all about God's promises. And there are five primary promises. We've been talking about one of them almost exclusively so far, that God promises, I'm going to have a relationship with you. You're going to be part of my family. God is talking to Abraham in Genesis 17, verse 7, one of my favorite verses around baptism. It says this, God says to Abraham, I will establish my covenant, my relationship, as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and to be the God of your descendants after you. What is God saying there to Abraham? He's saying, Abraham, you're going to be part of my family. I'm going to be your God. And I'm not only going to be your God, but I'm going to be the God of your children and their children. And their children, and their children. He says, for an everlasting covenant. God promises we're going to be part of His family. In baptism, God promises that He will forgive us our sins. Listen very closely. Baptism does not forgive our sins. Baptism does not save us. Jesus saves us. And it's His work on the cross that allows our sins to be forgiven. But in baptism, God is promising that when we confess our sins and we confess our need for our Savior Jesus Christ, God will forgive our sins. The third promise is that God will welcome us as a part of His church, this family. That we are bonded together, God is saying, in this wild and holy entity that we talked so much about last week. God is saying, you're going to be set apart. And you're going to be set apart for a purpose. And together, you and one another, clothed in Christ, are going to be set apart to accomplish my purposes. Fourth promise is that God will send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come to help us to grow in our faith, to help us to be encouraged in our faith. The Holy Spirit's going to come and help us grow in our faith so that we can continue in this walk with Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit's there in our personal devotions early in the morning, helping us learn and grow. The Holy Spirit's there as teachers teach us during discovery hour and youth group leaders lead us during youth group. And the Holy Spirit's there in conversations of small group and on the mission trips and in the volunteer opportunities. The Holy Spirit's there helping us to learn and to grow in our faith. And then the final promise is that someday God promises He will resurrect us to eternal life. That just as Christ died and rose again, for those who have faith in Jesus Christ, for those who are clothed with Christ, death is not the final chapter of our story. But just as Christ rose, we too will rise. And we will spend eternity in the presence of our God. This is the deposit of grace that is ours in the sacrament of baptism. Quick breath. One done, one to go. So turn your attention with me to our 1 Corinthians passage. And Nathan, I'm going to have you come back up here this morning. And if you would please read our 1 Corinthians 11 passage for us.
For I received from the Lord that I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on that night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nathan, for reading that for us. And just like with baptism, you know, there's so many passages that we could choose around the Lord's Supper, or sometimes called communion. We could look at Matthew or Mark or Luke, their gospel, and the very moment when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper out of the Passover meal. And we could look at other passages as well. But here in 1 Corinthians, what I love about this is the Apostle Paul is reflecting upon what Jesus has done. And I love that the Apostle Paul, his words here in 1 Corinthians are nearly verbatim to what Jesus had said. And what that tells me is how careful and precise the early church was about their practice and their celebration of the Lord's Supper as it was passed down to them through the years. Now in this section of 1 Corinthians, kind of in the larger section, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth there, and he's addressing a number of concerns that have developed within the church. And specifically here in 1 Corinthians 11 around the Lord's Supper, Paul is addressing what we're going to call some bad manners. Because the Corinthians, they would gather for worship and they would gather around the table and they would do what first graders do. They budged in line. And what would happen then is that those who went first, they ate all the bread, which is one thing. And then they drank all the wine, which is another thing. And not only is that not so good for them, but it also meant that those who were later in line, those who they budged in front of, they came to the Lord's Supper and they went not only physically hungry, but they also did not receive the grace of the Lord's Supper. And so when Paul talks after our passage that Nathan read about eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, he's giving reprimand here and he's correcting them there. And we can talk another time about all of that at a different time, but our focus this morning is going to be on this. You know, Paul is focusing here on the elements, we call them, of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup, which just like the water here in baptism, the bread and the cup are visible, tangible elements and signs of God's invisible grace. We have this bread that represents to us the body of Christ, and this cup that in some churches it's filled with wine, some churches it's filled with juice, doesn't matter. Either way, the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And there are some traditions that believe that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, there's a moment when the bread actually becomes the body of Christ. And the cup actually becomes the blood of Christ. Now, we don't believe that in our tradition. We believe that the bread stays a loaf of bread and the juice stays juice. But even so, we do believe that Jesus is present in the meal, that Jesus is present here around the table, that by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is here present with us. And as we take his this bread, which is his body, and we take this cup, which is his blood, it nourishes us and strengthens us as we continue to grow in our faith. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to this place that sometimes we call it the Lord's table. And we said Jesus is present here, and we come to this table at the invitation of Jesus. He invites you and me to come. Just as he invited those earliest disciples to come to that upper room where it was Passover, and he instituted the Lord's Supper, he invites you and me as disciples to come. Now, I don't know what your practice is, but when I get invited to someone's house and to a meal, I want to show respect. Or maybe this is you. You get invited to someone's house and you just walk in with your muddy shoes and you sit down at the table and grab the fork and grab the knife and say, "Let's eat." Anybody do that? No, we come with respect. So we want to honor and respect the invitation of Jesus around this table. Now, what happens is that often respect gets translated as very solemn and very serious and very subdued. And that's one way that we can respect, but I do want us to remember that we call this the celebration of the Lord's Supper. We want to respect, we want to honor, and one way we can do that is to being very serious. However, respect doesn't have to equal subdued. We celebrate, we give thanks, we rejoice in God's grace that he deposits to us in this meal, because we remember that it was Christ's body that was broken and his blood that was shed so that you and I can be saved. And that's worthy of celebration. Would you agree? And so yes, honor and respect, absolutely, but we can smile. We can be glad. We can rejoice. Here at Westview, sometimes we sing during the celebration of the Lord's Supper, because this meal represents Christ's work for our salvation. Now, when we respond to Jesus' invitation to come, there are three important things that we want to keep in mind as we approach the Lord's Supper. We call these the meaning of the sacrament. And each time we celebrate communion here at Westview, we, in some fashion, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter, we mention and we reflect upon them. Three meanings of the sacrament. The first meaning of this meal is that we remember. We remember who Jesus is, and we remember what Jesus has done. As the family of God, gathering together around the table, we remember our family story. Do you all have family stories that you tell around the table? Do you have those stories that you tell over and over and over and over again? They never get old. Maybe in your nuclear family, or maybe later this week at Thanksgiving with your extended family. You have those stories? I know I've shared one of our family stories before. This is a family story from when I was growing up. I know I've shared it before, but I love this story. I think I was in college, we were flying somewhere, and we were in the airplane getting ready for takeoff, and we tell the story. My poor mom, we tease her about it every time, but my mom was sitting there, and she kept pressing what she thought was a malfunctioning reading light, until the flight attendant turned around and said, "Ma'am, stop hitting the call button." It's a story that we tell. We have a new story in our family that we've been telling for the last year and a half or so. We went on an Out West trip, summer of 2022, so about a year and a half ago, and we rented a van because our van would not have made the mountains. And so we had a new van, different color, different style, and we were in Yellowstone. We pulled off on the side of the road, and Heather hopped out to take a picture. And as she was coming back, there was another minivan of our rental, same color scheme, same kind, and me and the kids from behind watched Heather get into the other van. "Oh, you're not my husband." And he said, "Certainly I am not." But it's a story that we tell around the table. And yes, I did tell her I was going to tell that story today. We love that story. When we gather around the Lord's table, we tell our family story. The story of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection. That is our hope today and forever. The second meaning of the sacrament is that we share communion with one another. That's where that other word for the Lord's Supper comes, communion. Because when we come to this table, we all eat of the same bread and we all drink of the same cup. Not literally, but the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And as we partake of these elements together, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have union with each other. We have unity with each other through Jesus Christ. We're connected as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, clothed together in Christ. We are united together. And not just united together as brothers and sisters, but through Christ, we are united together with God. And so this meal testifies that there is a bond. There's a relationship, there's a covenant, to use a word that we talked about a few weeks ago. A relationship that is between us and us between God through the person and work of Jesus Christ. The third meaning of the sacrament is that we proclaim hope. When we partake of these elements, we offer a proclamation, we testify that because of Christ's life, and because of His death, and because of His resurrection, we proclaim that there is hope in the midst of our brokenness. There is promise despite our current pain. There is restoration in what is now rubble. Because there was a body that was broken, but we know that it is a resurrected body. And there was blood that was shed, but it was shed for the healing of our hearts. And when we partake of these elements, we proclaim that Jesus Christ will come again. And when He comes, He will finish what He started, and He will make all things new. He will restore all things. And so, friends, when we come to the table, the deposit of God's grace is that we remember and we have communion and we proclaim hope. Now, before we close this morning, what I want to do is I want to offer two quick, practical reflections about these deposits of grace and how they impact our celebration here at Westview. So, I want to do one of each. So, let's start with baptism. Here at Westview, we are a part of what's called a Reformed tradition or a Reformed theology, and within that, we celebrate baptism, we celebrate what's called infant baptism. And believe me, I know we could spend another 90 minutes this morning just talking about infant baptism. But what I want to say is this. We celebrate infant baptism because we remember baptism is all about what? God's promises. It's not about my faith. It's not about your faith. It's not about a faith that I maybe once had and then got back later in life. Baptism is about God's promises. And God's promises are forever. God's promises are eternal. And God's promises are not dependent upon my faith or the faith of a little newborn who can't see more than 2 feet past their face. Baptism is about God's promises. Now, with that said, we here at Westview, we completely respect if a family chooses to wait to have their child baptized after they make a profession of faith. That's something then that's called believer baptism. We respect if that's how a family wants to handle that. We have families here at Westview that do infant baptism and some that wait for believer baptism. But we here at Westview, we do support and we do encourage infant baptism based on what we talked about with God's promises. With the Lord's Supper. Here at the Lord's Supper, we say that the Lord's Supper is open, and that's kind of the traditional word, but the Lord's Supper is available to children. We invite children to come and participate in the Lord's Supper. And that's even before they make profession of faith, which is different than when I grew up in the church that I grew up. I had to make profession of faith first in order to then have access to the Lord's Supper. It was almost like the gate before you could get into the green pastures, which feels backwards. Because if we believe that this is grace, for us, wouldn't I want to receive grace to support me and help me in my journey of faith to lead me to the point of making that profession of faith, of claiming that faith on my own. And so we do have the Lord's Supper communion open, available to children. And here at Westview, we believe that parents, you know your child best. You know their faith journey best. And we empower you as parents to have those conversations with your kids. Do they, at an age-appropriate level, 4 is different than 12, do they at an age-appropriate level know who Jesus is, what Jesus has done for them, and what the Lord's Supper means? And so we entrust our families to make those decisions that are best for them. And we respect whatever decision that is. Some of us want to wait until our child has made a profession of faith. That's great. Some of our families wait until we take the third grade sacraments class. That's great. And some of our families invite their children to participate now. That's great. Now, I'm happy to talk about either one of those things or anything else related to sacraments at another time. Feel free to hit me up, give me a call, shoot me a text, stop by, we'll go for coffee, whatever. I'd love to talk about any of that stuff at any time with you. But what we want to do now this morning, after talking about all of this, let's receive the deposits of God's grace. Let's celebrate together our sacraments. And I do say sacraments, plural. We're going to celebrate both the Lord's Supper and baptism this morning. Now, we do not have a baptism, that we're going to have a baptism up here, but here's the thing. Every time we have someone be baptized, we can do what's called remember our baptism. I don't remember my baptism. I was an infant. What I was told is that I screamed so loud, my mom took me out of church as soon as it was over. I don't remember that at all. Some of you do not remember your baptism. Some of you do. But we can remember our baptism every time someone is baptized. We only need to be baptized once. And I recognize sometimes, like, well, I drifted away and I came back. I get that. But remember, baptism is all about God's promises. And those promises are eternal. They remain true, no matter where my faith journey has gone. And so what we're going to do this morning, we don't have a baptism here today, but I want to invite us this morning to remember our baptism. As we come up in just a few moments like we do for communion, we're going to invite you to come we're going to invite you just as we do. These sections here come to this angled aisle, these sections here down this angled aisle, and you see the tables in front and you can see the sign that says remember your baptism. As we come for communion today, go up this aisle, you're going to cross your respective section. We're just going to invite you, just dip a hand or your hands in the water. If you want, you can touch your forehead. If you want to make the sign of the cross in your forehead, that's fine. Whatever you want to do to remember your baptism, remember those promises that God spoke over you. And then we'll invite you, just as we do for communion, we'll have elders, stations of elders in front of every section, and you'll be able to cross your respective section, and then you'll be able to receive, even if your hands are wet and dripping, that's okay. You'll receive the elements of the Lord's Supper, the body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. And you can partake of those elements and return back to your seats down the outside or middle aisles. Today, we want to receive the deposits of God's grace that are God's gifts for you and for me. Before we do, would you please pray with me? God, you are a God of grace, and our lives are benefited and nourished and supported and strengthened by that grace. We thank you, God, that you have instituted two sacraments that are these deposits of grace for us. As we receive them now, as we celebrate them now, may your grace abound within and through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.